a historic day, actually. One day after the fifth commemoration of the January 6th protests that resulted in the political persecution of individuals attempting to right a wrong, correct a problem, and that is the stolen election that happened in 2020, which led to a number of things, including what happened today. And what happened today, the violent left, the people that embraced the destruction of our nation, of course, received attempted to run over. One of them attempted to run over an ICE officer in Minneapolis 5 years ago in May. We, of course, saw the George Floyd riots, or what precipitated the George Floyd riots. And now we're seeing the winter of ICE. Same city, same suspects, different circumstances. Pray for our nation. The leftists, the anti-ICE direct actions are going to be accelerating. We're seeing things happening now in Minneapolis, which appears to be ground zero for the communist left, the Muslim embracers, the leftist ideologues. We're seeing right now the leftists, of course, rioting, breaking into, or breaking, assaulting the federal courthouse there. Folks, there's going to be a decision point that we all must face, but one that faces specifically to the leftists. They either continue their current level of actions, which are going to have zero effect in the end, or escalate into further attempts to murder those individuals attempting to restore the Constitution. That's what they're doing. Now, some leftists, of course, communists, the Islamic loving and embracing fraud entwined individuals, they intend to escalate the violence. The administration, I believe, should rigorously focus very strongly on a couple of key things. First of all, ICE was present in Minneapolis, doing its job removing dangerous criminals, while the Minneapolis police, by orders of the thuggish, sold out, pussified scumbag mayor Jacob Frey, did nothing, told them to stand down. The leftist politicians are creating a very dangerous situation with their rhetoric. And their rhetoric caused this incident. Folks, we're under siege. Our nation, once great nation, is being torn apart from within by the traitorous left, by the insidious communists, by the radical Muslims who are dead set on obliterating every aspect of the fabric of our country, our sacred values, our way of life. They have unleashed floods of illegals into our nation, especially during the last 4 years. But, you know, the right has some responsibility about this. George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush. I mean, pick a leader, pick a Congress. They're all essentially responsible for what is taking place today. The borders eroded and purposely destroyed, the coddling of criminals that we see within the rogue judiciary, the phony sanctuary cities and states. Those people in charge of that are spitting and pissing on the graves of every patriot who fought and died for this nation, who fought and died for the people, the very people who built this country. These spineless elected officials spearheading this iteration, this part of this betrayal. People like Gavin Newsom, Pritzker, Hochul, and of course, Tampon Tim Walz of Minnesota, brazenly defying federal law to shelter criminals. It's interesting because once they cross the border illegally, once they're in this country, they're, by definition, they're criminals. can't understand why they can't get that through their heads. But here we are, mayors like Brandon Johnson of Chicago, Michelle Wu of Boston. They shove, and of course, Jacob Frey. They shove American citizens aside, favoring lawbreakers, transforming our streets into battle zones, anarchy, despair by those silenced by their actions. And lurking in the shadows, of course, are the corrupt NGOs, the organizations orchestrating this invasion. And we can name them Catholic Charities USA, Immigrant Legal Resource Center, Races with an I, the National Immigration Law Center, and HIAS, of course, pumping money and resources to prop up sanctuary madness, which is what this is. To resettle hordes of illegals, dismantle our sovereignty brick by brick, we have to hold them to account. We had House oversight hearings today. They were here today. I mean, on the fraud, for example, in Minnesota. By my estimates, based on my independent research and using other figures, as other people's figures as well, you're looking at well into somewhere between $200 to $250 billion, much of it being sent overseas to facilitate the very things that we're seeing happen on our streets today. And this at the hands with the approval with the approval and facilitation of those people I mentioned and the organizations I mentioned. The Somali fraud issue, one small but important aspect of a very large problem. Look, one last thing I want to say before we get into the show. Our failure right now, the failure, if we don't demand action by the Department of Justice, if we don't demand action by those people in charge to actually to charge criminally, indict, make an example of people like Jacob Frey, people like Tim Walz, people like Newsome, people like Hochul and others, that's nothing more than cowardly hesitation. That's going to seal our fate. That's going to decide our future. And worse, that's going to decide the future of our children. The current government's gutless inaction, and I don't care if you're a fan or I don't care. Kash Patel, where in the hell are you? Pam Bondi, where in the hell are you? And oh, where have you been? And others, if you refuse, or if you continue to refuse right now to crush this threat brought on by the left, the lunatic, demonic left, what is going to happen? There will be an eruption in rivers of bloodshed all across our country. We cannot, I cannot emphasize this enough, we cannot coexist with this treason any longer. We will be forced, in your absence, to rise up and to do what we must do to right this wrong. So far, since President Trump came into office, our border, southern border, has been secured. But we can do more. We must reclaim America, not for anyone else, but for Americans, but for us, for our children. And you know what? We must crush the enemies that live among us, the demons that walk among us, before it's too late. There's no more time. We cannot show weakness. And we must fight back with fire in our hearts, and righteous, absolute righteousness. And our steps must be guided by heavenly, by godly righteousness. God bless each and every one of you. I want to thank you for joining me tonight with me right now. Without any further ado, is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. You know, in order to fight, in order to fight, we need to feel good. And I'm a big believer in this, a little bit late to the party, I might add. But I have to thank Health Masters for restoring much of my health through their supplementation. Folks, if you do nothing else today, get ready. But get ready by going to healthmasters.com. Get some quality supplementation so you are able to show up at least to the fight. You can do that. You owe it to yourself. Awesome, bro. We're healthmasters.com. God bless you, my friend. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. Glad to have you here.
Doug, it's great to be on the show as always. Great intro. And yeah, you got to be ready to fight. You got to feel good to fight. It's hard to fight if you feel like death and you want to lay on the couch and sleep the entire time. And the cover, you know, just a response to what you said a second ago, we're really truly going back to another conflict against real dark communism that's infiltrated this country. That's the basis of the ideology that's really, really infested the left. As you're watching this push, this demand, this just complete and totally this just dark concept of communism, where they think, they truly believe that we need to be brought back into this communistic ideology that came from Russia and all these other platforms in the past that have always failed, because that's exactly what they're trying to push. They want free everything. I mean, look at what we saw with the Somalian daycares, that they're now trying to do all this backtracking on. Oh, well, the state has come in now and the county came in. They said that all the daycares are operating as normal. Everything's fine. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to investigate. I mean, that's why Tim Walz is resigning from his, you know, re-election campaign, right? He just suddenly dropped out after this whole thing came out. This is happening systemically more and more and more. I mean, just back, what, a year ago, a little bit less than a year ago, when Elon Musk came in and first opened up Doge and found out, oh, by the way, DHS was appropriating funds through FEMA to $52 million to the Roosevelt Hotel at one small swoop. That was one small one, many other before that, for the Roosevelt Hotel, for illegals to stay at the hotel with state subsidies. And so you're watching these things happen, and they've been building and building and building and culminating. And a lot of the population that is still true Americans, they still want liberty. They want us to have a republic. We all want a republic based around biblical principles. We're realizing, like you just said, these two groups don't go together. Communism and a constitutional republic cannot coexist at all, ever, because we're intolerant of their unbelievably insane ideology, and they never stop pushing their ideology. There's never enough. I mean, what we saw today with this lady being fatally shot by an ICE federal agent is showing you how brazen a lot of these individuals are getting, to the point they truly think they're above any concept of law and order. You know, if you're stopped by a federal agent or they're telling you to go a certain direction, just go that direction. Sitting there trying to drive off while an officer's telling you to stop, and then telling you basically to open your door and get out of your vehicle, and then you try to run into another officer. This shows you the mindset that is starting to corrode and rot this left, where they truly believe, because a lot of these states have pushed it so hard, they brainwashed the population to truly believe in, yes, communism is good. This is what you want. This is how you fight back.
Let me ask Austin about that.
Yeah.
At what point in our history did we decide it was okay to attempt to litigate a traffic stop in the street? It's very simple. You have the interaction with the police officer. It could be a bad stop. I've been a subject of a bad stop. I fought it in court. I didn't fight it on the street. So when did that change? When all of a sudden there is this expectation of demands for a supervisor, demands for, you know, whoever. Okay, these incredible demands, this fighting back. What prompted that change, and when did it change in your view? Go ahead.
I think a lot of it started to change with social media. You started to get people to start recording traffic stops. And I'm not justifying either side, because sometimes everybody has the right to record a traffic stop, because sometimes there are law enforcement officers that act out of pocket, and you need that if you do have to go to court. But secondly, too, a lot of people have gotten this brazen attitude that, like, oh, it doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to do this. I'm going to act this way. Literally, just be nice. You know, in most cases, not all, but in most cases, law enforcement is usually pretty chill if you're not doing dumb crap. They really are. they're not that hard to deal with. I've been dealt with a lot of law enforcement my entire life. I've got friends that are law enforcement. I've been pulled over before. And the thing about it is, don't do stupid stuff and you won't win stupid prizes. And the fact of the matter is this, is there's been such this social media push now through these organizations that is telling everyone, it doesn't matter if law enforcement, sheriff, federal agents are doing this. You don't have to listen. You don't have to comply. You don't even have to actually stop. Just run them over, because that's your job now to fight back. And in reality, it doesn't even matter in this case, in any case, at least not in the state of Florida. If a bystander is just standing there and they're trying to walk or they're trying to move, and you take a vehicle and you try to actively run them over, you could still use force to defend yourself. The same thing goes the opposite direction. If you're in your car in the state of Florida and somebody attempts to break into your vehicle, you can use force. But in this case, you got federal agents where this lady's trying to interject her way into it. And, you know, it's sad. People die, especially this is useless death. But the more we've started to see this behavior, it's starting to grow exponentially because the utilization of social media, which is a double-edged sword, because we can get good topics out there, but then you get these individuals that get so, you know, they're just emboldened. Oh, I don't have to listen to this. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to start doing anything I want at any point in time. And it's sad to say when you see stuff like this happen, but it's definitely an ideology that is starting to spread a lot of the United States now, unfortunately.
How can, I want to give this time to you, but I watched the evolution or devolution of Jacob Frey, for example, in Minneapolis. And it occurred, I mean, when you watch this over a period of time, from his assuming or being elected in the office to where he's at today, I could not. I mean, it was hard to really wrap my head around this pattern that I saw. Again, embracing these Somalians, to him talking in Somalia, and the, you know, the raise or dancing with the flag and on and on and on. Folks, you've seen this, and then culminating today. And I don't know whether you saw this, Eric the Tech, just real quick, folks, if you haven't seen this, Austin, allow me just to send this to Eric
it.
Here.
Let's see it.
And then he can play this. It's a very brief thing. Eric the Tech, it is coming at you now. This was after an ICE agent opened fire on a vehicle that attempted to run that ICE agent as well as others over, strike the person with a car. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever been attempted to be run over, I mean, if someone ever attempted to run you over with malice, that happened to me on my way to Rochester when I was in court in Rochester. I was crossing a street near the courthouse, and the defendant at that time attempted to strike me with his car. And thank God, this was in 1998, and thank the Lord, there was a police officer who witnessed that. Long story short, in that case, what I saw, we sat down. I was able to get to the courthouse. And he, as a defendant, went to the courthouse. And what happened was, in the middle of the proceedings, the officer came in and arrested that man. Okay, that's when we had law and order. Okay, but it was witnessed by a police officer. But I said that because today we don't have there's this idea, I think, in the leftist minds that hey, you know what, this is an inconvenience, this isn't a threat, this is a protest, it's not a riot, it is just an incredible brainwashing. Okay, here's the clip, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, folks. If you didn't see this is Jacob Frey, that little twat. I don't even know how old this kid is, but he needs, without further comment, here it is.
ICE, get the fuck out of Minneapolis. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. Somebody is dead. That's on you. This was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody dying. To the family, I'm so deeply sorry. We're going to be working towards justice.
There you go. That's his response. Classy, right? Classy. Go ahead, sir. It's to you.
No, yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, and there's people that are arguing these different topics. Well, you know, he should have been able to freaking, you know, use not deadly force, this other stuff. You know, and I've been in numerous fights when I was younger, and I used to be like professional karate. I did U.S. Open and stuff. And the thing about it is, when you start getting altercations, especially altercations that escalate very quickly, they happen unbelievably fast. And the problem is, the tensions are unbelievably high because of the rhetoric they've been spewing. I mean, there's an article now here that says Waltz is now issuing warnings to prepare the Minnesota guard after deadly shooting. So he's saying they're being prepared to deploy to basically go after ICE. So now you've got Minnesota deploying the National Guard, or basically State Guard, against ICE agents. And, you know, the thing about this is, the only main purpose, and granted, you know, are some of them using force unnecessarily? I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of it. But the primary purpose of this ICE raids is to remove people that are here illegally. That's pretty much the only direct purpose of these groups. Right? ICE agents. They're not there for any other purpose except to take people that are here legally and pull them back out of the country. And I guess this normalization that we've had now over so many years, almost even decades, is that it doesn't matter. America's just this end-all, be-all, do whatever you want to do. There's no law and order here. And the problem is, you're watching it absolutely ruin the entire infrastructure. I mean, the Social Security program, look at the fraud with that. Look at what we've seen now with the SNAP program. You know, went from 18 million people to SNAP on 42 million in just last 3 years under Biden. And so, yeah, a lot of this stuff needs to be addressed. And at the same time, I always tell people, no matter what's happening across the country and what's happening across the globe, make sure you don't neglect to take care of yourself and your family. And that's why I keep continually trying to encourage people to stay healthy, take your subs, keep your energy up, feed your body, stay in shape. Because quite frankly, at the end of the day, if something does occur in your town or your city where you have to protect your family from an occurrence, you know, if you have a bunch of illegals, I mean, if you have individuals that are in gangs, the MS-13 gangs, they start taking over certain areas, which is a possibility now that they're calling a lot of these groups to do. You need to be able to defend your family, because that's my main overall goal, is my friends, family, community, being able to take care and protect them. And that's one thing I saw earlier here now, and I'm so glad this finally happened. I sent the link to Eric, is that RFK now has finally flipped the food pyramid to unveil the new dietary guidelines for Americans. The new U.S. food pyramid puts protein, healthy fats, vegetables, and fruit at the top, with grains at the bottom. This is something we have discussed for decades on why in the world the food pyramid was set up the way it was. And as we found out, it was pretty much corporate-driven, you know, greed. For decades, Americans have grown sicker while healthcare costs have soared. The reason is clear. The hard truth is, the government has been lying to us to protect corporate profit-taking, telling us these food-like substances were beneficial to public health. They're not. Federal policy promoted and subsidized highly processed foods, refined carbohydrates, turn a blind eye to disastrous consequences. Today, the lie stops, says Kennedy. He says, some people may think the new pyramid is upside down, given the prior pyramid allotted the largest area to grains, the smallest area to fats. But actually, it was upside down before. We just righted it. And so he said, you know, this whole thing had to change. And I've been yelling about this for years. You know, healthy fats with eggs, avocados, beef, you know, butter, real butter. That's the stuff you got to put in your body to get the best fats, the best nutrients, the best response out of it. And this whole nonsense, you need to be eating piles and piles of processed cereal and grains. Guys, understand, a lot of the grains and a lot of the cereal, they're the same exact ingredients in the same quantity as swine fattening feed. You give it to pigs to fatten them up before you slaughter them. So this is something that needed to be done for a while. I am so glad, from a health standpoint, we finally have somebody in this position, such as RFK Jr., that's really calling out what's happening and making active changes. I mean, this needed to be done, because remember, this doesn't just affect what people think. This also affects every aspect as far as how the government handles food. The pyramid doesn't include any added sugars. And the thing about this is, the whole pyramid is based on what the government subsidizes. So this whole entire policy now is going to change for the way schools get food, the way they process, they basically promote and they subsidize certain foods. So this is going to completely change the guidelines for America. That's why now, in a lot of states, also on top of this is great, a lot of states are starting to restrict what you can buy on SNAP. Soda, junk food in certain categories, you can't buy on SNAP. And I think that is absolutely amazing, because quite frankly, if you need support with food, you need it. Got it. Okay, you actually truly need it. You're not just getting off the government, mooching off. You need it. Why in the world are we subsidizing food that's going to make you sicker, fatter, dumber, and more prone to go to the hospital, that then we have to subsidize that? We're providing food that provides sustenance and actually energy and nutrition to your body, not high fructose corn syrup is going to cause you to go into, you know, hospital more often with liver problems, with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease over the years. So this is a big deal, Doug. And yeah, that's why I'm very pleased to see this now with RFK Jr.
You know, a couple of things, which you said earlier, people might have missed about the supplement. Well, your message about supplementation, the importance of supplementation, folks. I do have some good news. I did get some results of testing done over the holidays, and with there was two things I did. I had to drastically change my diet, which is fine, not a big deal. But the other thing I did was I began taking, or I continued taking, but increased the use of the GHI cleanse and some products specifically directed to the issues I had, specifically with my end stage liver disease. Okay, where the doctor said, "Look, man, you know, he's, good luck with that." And the results, because of that change, but I would specifically point to the product use. The damage, you know, kind of the trajectory, the slide that happens when you are in the end stages of like liver problems, it just keeps going, and it's hard to turn around. That has, by test results, that stopped. So I'm happy to share that with the audience. But the reason I brought that up, this is not about me. This is about all of us, because we have control. We can do that, but we have to pay attention. And by paying attention, not just about what we eat, but also the types of supplements that we take. And I went through this over the holidays. And Austin, there's just one product I got to ask you about. I'm not going to do it on air, but when I say ask you about, I'm talking about the combination levels. I was curious how you folks arrived at that. But every single product I put up against the Forbes, you know, 10 best supplements, okay? Every product, your supplements had higher levels, higher dosages, higher and purer ingredients than others on that list, label to label. Okay, does that make sense? Awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it makes sense to everybody. The quality control that we require with our supplements is enormous, because I mean, I put them in my body, my kids take them. I'm not some cheap factory. I'm ordering stuff from China so I can sell to make a couple bucks. I'm selling stuff that I personally take, all of it. And the reason why is because I want everybody to be healthy. The only way to fight and push back against any of this is you got to be functional. You got to be mentally acute. You got to be strong. You got to be alert. And so we put certain ingredients together in certain doses, and they're not cheap. I'll be honest with you, a lot of the raws are unbelievably expensive, and it is what it is. I'm not going to cheap out and put garbage in my body. And also, too, I don't hype time proprietary blends. You guys notice that all my ingredient list, I break you down to all the way the exact formula that's in it, to the all the way the broken down ingredient, everything. I don't hide behind certain. There's a lot of companies on the market, I'm not going to name names. I get people that send me emails all the time and ask me about it. If you get a product that's got a lot of these good names, and you know, it's got resveratrol, it's got quercetin, it's got this and this, and it's in this big proprietary list, it says the whole, you know, proprietary amount is 1800 milligrams, and then gives you 20 different vitamins in there, supplements and nutrients. That's good and great. The thing a lot of people don't realize with proprietary blends is that there is no legal requirement to have anything more than 1 milligram of right. that actual compound in the product. As long as it can test to be available, that is it. Because you're not stating there's a milligram dosage of that ingredient. So you produce these products that look like they're amazing. Then they turn around and say, look, you get all these supplements, all these nutrients, all these vitamins, enormous amount, and we're going to sell it to you for $19.99. And by the way, right now, we're going to buy one, get 10 free. I know from a manufacturer standpoint, it's physically impossible to have any relevant dosages of those ingredients in that product. You can't do it. It can't be done. So they do this in order to fool, you know, customers into thinking they're getting something that they're not. But yes, everything we do it for a reason. And, you know, that's why, like, every time I'm on your show, the DH5 coupon, you know, Doug Hagman 5, I put that out there to support your customers, to support you. If you guys need anything on the site, DH5 gets you 5% off store-wide on all regular price products. I continue to do the best I can to provide everybody with, you know, affordable supplements, but at a level of quality and nutrient capacity that pretty much is unmatched by many other companies. And that's what we do here at Health Master. So I appreciate the support on it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. I've found that your supplements are on average about $5 to $7 less. And even if you want to get technical per milligram, okay. Well, not per milligram, but $5 to $7 less per product based on a higher level of dosage of the specific mineral or supplement or vitamin. So I appreciate that. Not all of them, but the majority of them. And folks, when you compare label to label, man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of research and study that goes into that, that you know, you've got to do. So I did that for you. And I got to say, you're up there in terms of, the quality of the supplement. So I appreciate that. And plus I've seen the older factory processing, or not processing, but manufacturing, I guess, of your product, and high quality operation. So thank you for that. And I'm very honored to have DH5 as a coupon. So thank you for that, folks.
You're welcome, Doug. I want everybody to be able to try stuff. I mean, like the Purple Six. Everybody asks for an energy supplement. Everybody's into, you know, these gigantic energy drinks now that are unbelievably toxic for you. That, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, 99% of the energy drinks on the shelf at stores, almost all the ingredients come out of China. Seen it, watched it, priced it. And I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm like, God, that's why the margins are so high on these things. Most of the energy drinks, they're 10, 20 cents as far as actual cost, processing cost. And that's why people drink them and they feel like crap after an hour or two. So it's designed to make you addicted to keep buying them. Duh. I mean, the amount of money it spends, I spend the raw ingredients and the acai in this, 1,000 milligrams per scoop with the green tea extract. So you're not getting a bunch of really dirty coffee bean extract like some of them they use from China, or my best is synthetic caffeine that they use. That's my favorite one. A lot of them use it. They're just straight synthetic caffeine right out of China. And you know, most people, it makes them nauseous. They feel sick. That's why they drink these pre-workouts. They drink energy drinks.
I had no idea that existed until over the holidays. I was looking and I see this. What the hell is that? I mean, sir, I'm asking you, what is that?
It's all synthesized. It's all synthesized chemicals. They produce caffeine out of it. And I mean, and it's like, it's one thing bad enough if you're getting produced in the U.S. or you actually have a little bit of oversight. There is no oversight in China. They just make whatever they want over there. And then what happens is there's a little to no oversight when the raws get to here in the country, because then the company's U.S. based. It mixes them up. It looks like they got this fancy lab. It slaps a fancy label on them. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, we trust this, you know, energy drink company. We come to find out there's a reason why so many people are coming to me with inflammation, gut problems, with colitis, with, diverticulitis, all these colon problems. I'm like, it's the GMO food and the bread, the grains that everybody's eating, and it's the super processed, horrible ingredients that are in so many products, and the ultra processed foods and the energy drinks. And when you cut that stuff out, you'll be shocked. Gut bloating, gas, stomach pain, acid reflux, almost all those things stop once you start putting right nutrients in your body and cut the crap out, the garbage out. And so, again, if you guys need anything, HealthMaster is the place to get your high-quality supplements. And, you know, speaking of drugs versus natural approach here, this is a big article that came out that I wanted to cover, covering metformin. Now, I sent this to Eric here earlier, and metformin has been one of the go-to drugs for managing diabetes for years. I mean, it's like tens and tens of millions of people are on this drug now for diabetes. And the problem with it is not only does it cause all types of pancreatic issues and liver issues, it also, now they're showing in a study, and I don't have time to go into all of it here, but essentially metformin blunts the benefit of exercise. And they took four different groups and they looked at the ones that were doing basically natural and, you know, exercise, and the group that was doing metformin and exercise. And the group that was doing metformin got pretty much zero benefits from all the different exercise checks that they were looking at. Zero. Metformin was blunting any positivity that you could possibly do with exercise because it's so toxic. They said over 16 weeks, researchers measured changes in blood vessel function, which helps deliver oxygen and nutrients after meals. The results showed that exercise alone improved insulin, meaning blood vessels were more sensitive to insulin, allowed more blood to flow to muscles. Exercise alone also reduced patients' inflammation and fasting blood sugar. However, metformin was added, these improvements were reduced. The drug lessened the gains of all the fitness. So it literally started to cause more problems adding that in by just doing fitness alone. That's why I tell so many people to look at these drug side effects, because one of the most effective things you can do to get your blood sugar under control is the blood sugar body fat burning stack. It'll melt body fat like butter in a microwave. It'll get your blood sugar tight. It'll get your interleukin levels back up. And that's with the cinnamon extract and the berberine ultimate. That kit works great because I'm getting so many questions about that now. People that want to avoid GLP-1s, you know, Ozempic because of side effects. They want to burn body fat. They say, I'm kind of stuck. I'm trying to eat clean. That's the stack to take. That gets your insulin back under control. That gets your blood sugar where it's arranged. When you take it with meals, clean meals, it really keeps your body stable. And that's one of the best ones to run on there. Because quite frankly, the research is showing it here. The control group that started exercising, when they add metformin into it, it literally blunted all benefits of exercise when they added that drug in there.
Yeah. And I'll say this, your blood sugar stack. What's the name of it officially on the site?
Well, we got the one on here that's the cinnamon extract. So the one I just had pulled up is the blood sugar and body fat burning stack. That's the cinnamon and the berberine. I think I sent that one to Eric. That's the main one that I really recommend now. That's really simplistic, cost effective, and you'll feel it work, especially if you change your diet with it.
The reason I bring this up, too, is because I had a problem about a month ago, or more than that, a couple of months ago, which is what they were checking for, because they thought maybe, hey, Doug, you know what? You might have a pancreatic situation. And the C word was brought up, okay, based on lab results. But you know, here was the thing. You mentioned metformin. I was taking metformin. Key word here is was. You start getting in the berberine, cinnamon, and the very products that Health Masters has. You can get off metformin, but you better make sure you're under a doc. I mean, do it with your doctor, okay? But this does work. And so while I'm still working on that, there is a very positive impact from this particular, these products, okay? So just saying. So you folks, you might have me around for a little bit longer than you thought. So it's all good news. Healthmasters.com plus DH5 for 5% off. There you go. So continue, sir.
Well, another thing, too, that's a positive article that I brought up on our show earlier this week, and now it's really starting to get, you know, some coverage, is that HHS made sweeping changes to the childhood vaccine schedule. The CDC came out now and confirmed it. And essentially what they've done now is they have removed an enormous amount of the vaccines off the childhood shot schedule, which, I mean, should have been done years ago. But now we actually have somebody in this Vernunftig. In German, that means actually like bright. You know, legitimate, that actually wants to make changes. And they've pulled a lot of these shots off that in most cases were completely unnecessary. There's still a lot of them on there, but this is one of the first significant changes in U.S. vaccination policy in history since the Protection Act went in 86 under Reagan. That gave the vaccine manufacturer pharmaceutical companies carte blanche immunity. Didn't matter what they produced, didn't matter how many people it killed, didn't matter how many side effects were, you could not sue the company for vaccine side effects. That exploded vaccines on the market like an atomic bomb. I mean, you tell companies that are already massively profit-driven, like pharmaceuticals, like Merck or like Pfizer, and you say, by the way, the vaccine industry now is fully protected, bonded, and shielded from all liability via the U.S. government. If you produce a product that makes people die, it's okay. They can sue us in court, and the federal government taxpayer will use taxpayer money to subsidize their deaths through the vaccine compensation fund. So make some vaccines. Let's see what happens. After that happened, the childhood shot schedule started going exponentially every few years. I mean, from, you know, 6 shots here to 8 shots, 12 and 18, 24, 65. I mean, it just started exploding to the point now I think the total shot schedule is like 76 total actual shots if you follow it from start to finish, which is obscene. It's obscene, Doug. And we're seeing so many kids having enormous amount of side effects long-term every time they get these shots, not even the autism factor coming into it. That's a whole nother discussion. I have personally witnessed myself multiple times, children that were very healthy with parents I knew very well. I talked to them about this topic. I said, listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying how to raise your kids. I'm not giving you no medical advice. All I'm saying is look at some articles before you decide to inject your child. Just look at them. Just humor me. Some of them listened, some of them didn't. And invariably now I've watched majority of the parents that continue to give their kids, especially the full shot schedule, are having nothing but health problems. Oh, we got to pull tonsils out now. Oh, we got to pull the adenoids out now. Oh, we got to put tubes in their ear now. Oh, they're on another antibiotic cycle. And I hate it because I have kids, but it makes me so frustrated because I realize it doesn't have to be this way. I have three kids. None of them have had any shots whatsoever. They don't get sick hardly ever. Except my 2-year-old, because for some odd reason, he still likes to put everything in his mouth. He's just like walking around and licked a shoe the other day I had outside. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But guess what? He gets a little cold. He's got a runny nose. He's better in 2 or 3 days. I put some vitamin C powder, give him a little bit of magnesium. He's good. You know, contrary to popular belief, you don't have to continue inject a child that doesn't even have a developed immune system with shot after shot after shot. That's why the concept never made any understanding to me. And like I said, I'm not a virologist, but I've even done enough research to realize that kids don't have a developed immune system until they get about 18 months. It's still building. So going in and taking a 2-month-old and a 3-month-old and a 6-month-old and giving them shot after shot after shot after shot after shot makes zero sense whatsoever from a natural standpoint of trying to build immunity, because their body just gets massively inflamed. And then on top of that, you're not even dealing with a clean immunization. That's the next topic. You're dealing with formaldehyde, polysorbate 80, aluminum, you know, mercury, and some of it they have in some of the shots still, and all these side effect ingredients, you know, aborted fetal tissue. You're putting all of that in the child's body as well, and you're saying, I don't know why he's sick all the time. So again, kudos to RFK Jr., the CDC. This is the only time you've ever heard me actually congratulate the CDC for doing something smart, and basically HHS for coming in now and chopping a lot of these vaccines off. It's not enough, in my opinion. They're still available. You want to go get all the shots known to man, you still do it. Nobody's stopping you. But we've pulled this mandatory shot schedule off for basically children from a federal standpoint for all these different platforms now. And I hope this is just the tip of the iceberg. I hope he does more, because there's a lot more stuff we need to pull, because they're still saying that if the doctor recommends it, they should get the COVID shot as a baby and an infant. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. So hopefully that just gets removed. I don't even think it should be available for any child or infant whatsoever to even have that shot, period. That's my opinion, at least from what I've
heard. Amen to that. And you know that I think out of all of the cabinet level positions and people, I have to give a lot of credit to RFK Jr. And I mean, even with Dr. Oz as well, like him, don't like him, the end result is very positive overall. So, hey. It's going well in that department. At least it's going in the right direction, and a lot of great things have improved. Go ahead, sir. And folks, by the way, I want to mention this. If you are very much interested in getting a day's worth of information in the course of 1 hour, make sure you listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show every single day. There it is on the website, or you can see that on the screen. It's just an hour's worth of information download, folks. The link will be at HagmanPI.com in the program description box at Rumble and on the audio platforms. That's the Ted and Austin Brower Show. You got to tune in, and you're going to be a lot better for it. I mean, the hour goes by in about 5 minutes, but you've got about a day's worth of knowledge, and it's very well worth it. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and then to add on to what I was talking about a second ago, and thank you for that, Doug. And I recommend anybody, you got any questions, email us, give us a call, browershow.com, and contact us. All I ask is we will not give, please don't ask us any medical questions. I'm not going to give you advice on pharmaceuticals or medical, you know, interventions. That's when you and your doctor. I'm simply here to provide you with natural supplementation. And if you want the information, it's here. We try to give it to you. And we have tons of articles on the site, too, that you can browse through. And even click in the search bar. Just click something on there. We have a lot of stuff we're continuing to add into it on the new site. But tying off to what we said earlier now, the federal government, under basically HHS now with RFK Jr., will stop paying physicians based on the number of patients they vaccinate, and is urging state health agencies to stop using similar financial incentives. This is huge, because a lot of states were using funding to basically encourage more people to get shots by subsidizing and giving doctors bonuses. And this isn't just state Blue Cross Blue Shield we've talked about. This is actually state subsidies. Memo to state health officials, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid said it does not tie payment to performance on immunization quality measures in Medicaid and CHIP, Child Health Insurance Program, at the federal level. Under the new policy, CMS will no longer state to report how many children are vaccinated. CMS stated it will explore options to encourage informed consent before vaccination, and will explore how religious exemptions for vaccines can be accounted for in the data and subsequent measures. RFK came out and he said government bureaucracy should never coerce doctors or families into accepting vaccines or penalize physicians for representing patient choice. And this is exactly what I've talked about. The directional change coming from CMS is insane because it's encouraged, and people are saying, well, why was it like this before? And I said, it wasn't. It was insane. It puts vaccines back in the category of every other medical intervention where it should be. If you had a doctor, right, and he was basically, you know, chemotherapy oncologist, and you come in with a state and you say, oh, by the way, every single person that comes in your office, if you put them on chemotherapy and you have 100% vaccination rate, we're going to give you a $50,000 bonus at the end of the year. As long as you can keep a full chemotherapy loaded rate with everybody in the office getting chemo, we need another bonus. How many doctors do you think would knowingly put people on chemotherapy just for the sole purpose of maybe you have cancer, maybe it'll stop it from spreading, so we're just going to do this as a medical intervention that's unnecessary in the event at some point in time you could possibly have cancer? I beg to probably say a lot of doctors, if they were going to start getting massive bonuses, they would put people on it knowing that they didn't need it. And that's exactly what we have now with these shots. In a lot of these cases, these shots are completely unnecessary. They are medical interventions. So why are we mandating it from a federal and state level and then subsidizing doctors to encourage parents to get shots they may not need, they may not want, they may not have informed consent over, and saying, oh, yeah, by the way, if you get all these shots, you know, we're going to give you a $50,000 bonus at the end of your doc if you got 100% vaccination rate. They do it. They've done it for years. They do it across the country. This is huge that they're cutting us out on here because it should never, ever tie in medical interventions with financial incentives to keep people getting interventions. In a lot of cases, they don't need. The COVID shot was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, and they did this to get it on the childhood shot schedule. Even the young children, the report said from the very beginning, most children had very little severe side effects from COVID. Period. There was no reason to start injecting RNA shots into young children that you have no idea what the long-term effects are going to be on them. None. Zero. No testing. No long-term research studies at all. They still don't know what's going to do to children 4, 5, 6 years down the road when they're in their teens and they're going through puberty. Suddenly they have delayed puberty. Testes don't function. Ovaries don't function. We don't know why. Oh, that's right. Well, this whole generation got shot with RNA gene therapy. That was DARPA super soldier programs back from 2011 and 2012. They started testing with RNA gene therapy and CRISPR-9 gene editing. And now it's still on the schedule. That needs to go away. Said it for years. But again, at least we're making positive strides. And I encourage you guys to keep being vocal, keep forwarding these shows, keep forwarding this information, and keep people learning more and more, because knowledge is power. The more you talk, the more you spread the word, the more you inform people, the more people can make informed really accurate decisions. Because the popular thing that has been now is don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. It's taboo. Nah, man, there's nothing off the table. This is the United States of America. We got the First Amendment. We can say whatever the hell we want whenever we want to say it for good reason. It was enshrined like that in the Bill of Rights for that reason. Because if you lose the ability to speak freely, you lose everything. And that's what they've been trying to do, slowly, slowly chipping away with these communists, these unbelievably sadistic individuals on the left that truly believe you don't have a right to speak freely. You have to go in and subvert your beliefs to make everybody else feel happy about that, their perverted behavior. And oh, by the way, while we're at it, we're just going to start getting in fights with federal agents because they're trying to get, you know, people that are legal out of the country. And this concept continues to snowball. And this is why I've said First Amendment is crucial. If anybody ever tells you it is not the, if probably not the most important amendment in the Bill of Rights, there's number one for a reason, then they're telling you you don't have the right to say something. You need to look at what their agenda is. More likely, it's probably pretty doggone communist and pretty suppressive. That's just my opinion.
Amen. Amen on that. Eric, the tech I sent you, just to verify, or just to show, there it is right there. And folks, take a look at this. The audio listeners, if you go to our Rumble channel, you can see this at this time marker. Look at that chart and look at what happened to the childhood vaccine schedule. Of course, I'm addressing something that Austin had mentioned earlier. That, of course, is obscene. That's just one snapshot, but of course, reversed in large part by RFK, by his efforts. The second thing is, if you're listening to this, folks, pay attention to what your veterinarians the rabies, yes, vaccination. Now there is a self-replicating rabies mRNA. Self-replicating mRNA vaccination for rabies. Under no circumstances I'm not a vet. I'm not a dog. But I'll tell you what, I would never give my dog that product. So check with your vet. Offhand, I don't recall the name of it or the company, but it's out there. And I love my dog, and I would never, ever, ever subject my best furry buddy to any mRNA, self-replicating mRNA. And by the way, it reportedly, it does cause aggressive behavior, among other things, in the dog. So just keep that in mind. And Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, by the way, yeah, teamhealthmasters.com, just a great amount of information in their literature research side of their website. So please make sure you follow with them. Continue, sir. Go ahead.
Glad you brought that up. I don't cover a lot of stuff with animals. I do have a dog. I got a great blue nose, Thor. He's my buddy. He's a bit of a lummox. He's like 100 pounds and he's running you sometimes because he wants attention, but he's a good dog. But you're referring to Merck's Novavax, the NXV line, and it's their RNA technology. They're using influenza and rabies shot, and it's RNA gene therapy. It's exactly the way the COVID shot worked. It injects it into the dog and tells the dog to basically start replicating this virus so it can build antibodies towards it. I would never put this in any animal, period, much less my dog, ever. I'm letting you know this right now. If you guys have a question about this, the second one, I'm glad you brought this up. The vast majority of shots, in my opinion, again, I am not a vet. I'm not giving you any type of dog or cat advice. If you do your own research, you'll probably come to the same conclusion, is that the vast majority of vaccines that they give dogs are also unnecessary. I do give my dog an actual true rabies shot about three times a year, or not three times a year, excuse me, every 3 years, because the primary reason is I still live out more where I've got a lot of wild raccoons, wild armadillos, and he loves to chase everything, and I'll make sure he's got a good immunity towards them. That I don't give him any other shots. My personal opinion, not telling you guys what to do. There's been a lot of research now over the last decade that is starting to show the enormous amounts of cancer and tumors and health problems that are starting to spiral with a lot of dogs is getting linked back to some of these unnecessary vaccines. The second thing I need to address on that is look at the dog food you're feeding your animals. I understand some of the feed gets really expensive. I understand there's some crazy expensive food for dogs. However, if you look at vast majority of just generic places that sell big bags of dog food, you'll find almost the first ingredient in every single bag is cornmeal. Almost all of it. If you do your research and start digging, which I have done, you will find that almost all the ingredients in those products are surplus, basically waste products. Cornmeal that has been sprayed with glyphosate, they get shielded off down on the ground. They have nothing to do with it. They scrape it up, throw it in the drums, send it to basically dog manufacturer, cat food manufacturing, processing plants. Some of that food, if you look at it, tests so high for glyphosate, it's not even edible by anything. Some of the food has so many toxic ingredients in it that no living thing should even eat it unless you're like, it's like swine fattening feed is what it is. You're basically fattening a hog before you slaughter it. Yep. This stuff is directly linking to cancer. As we know, glyphosate is directly linked to cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in adults or humans, but we're also seeing what it does. You can look at an article we had years ago when they started giving rats straight GMO Roundup resistant corn. They gave pigs, same thing, caused all types of health issues. Do not feed your dog or cat anything with corn products in it unless, my God, it's at the bottom of the list. But if you look at the first 5, 10, 15 ingredients and it's got cornmeal, corn this, corn that, corn this, don't touch it. If you want to have an animal and you want them to stay around, you actually care about them, spend the extra couple dollars, get some good food for them. I don't have any specific brands I can recommend. I used to feed my dog a lot of raw, and he grew up great on it. He does great. He's super healthy. He's big. Again, that can get expensive. It was when he was younger. I pulled off that a little bit more. But listen, when you start looking at it, if you care about your dog, you want him around, look at the food you're feeding them, please. And I know it's expensive sometimes, but that's just my personal
thank opinion. Thank you. And my rule of thumb is because, I mean, look, if I'm eating clean, basically my dog will eat, is going to be eating what I eat. And if I would not eat what my dog eats, I'm not feeding it to my dog. So
not a bad way to be. I mean, it's true. If you want them to be alive and you really care about it. Now, it's like if you got a puppy, like, you know, shelter, I mean, obviously you can't be spending $5,000 a week on food if you got a shelter with 50, 60 dogs. I get it. But if you actually have an animal, it's a family dog and you want to take care of them, spend the extra couple dollars on it and just take care of them. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And folks, again, I cannot recommend higher than I have healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. That is, their products and their service is amazing. When I put an order in with Health Masters, I can order something and forget it. They've also have a great subscription service if you like that. But frankly, here's the deal. I make my order on a Monday. Usually I have it in my hand Thursday at the latest, maybe Wednesday. It's that simple, that easy, and it's that streamlined. So, Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com, DH5 for 5% off the No Kids or Sell merchandise. So it's a great deal. Continue, sir.
Yeah, and I want to cover this. I don't talk about it very much, though, but some people have asked me if I start manufacturing a dog vitamin, because I kind of mix up my own stuff. I'm not even going to tell you what I give him. I give him a crazy concoction. It works. I'm not recommending those. I don't want people giving their dog and get diarrhea all over the house, and they blame me. My dog's used to it. But, I mean, obviously, you know what I have access to as far as the supplementation. So he gets a nice little stack of stuff, and that's why he's, like, never sick, never has problems. He's a great, great, great animal. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. You brought that up with that RNA shot. Well, I'm like,
I gotta tell you, I do the same thing with Lady, my dog, and Maxwell.
Yeah.
Okay, so folks, you do your own research for your – yeah, go ahead.
I don't need an email. My dog's stomach's upset for 2 days. I'm like, I had nothing to do with that. You know, do your own research. But, you know, when you look at the basis of RNA gene therapy vaccines, which are not even vaccines, I call it that just in reference so people know it. If you remember, I covered this on the show in 2020, is the CDC actually went in and had to redefine the longstanding definition of what a vaccine was in order to have RNA gene therapy fall under that umbrella of a vaccine. It couldn't fit the model. Because it's not a vaccine. It causes your body to start producing spike proteins. So anytime you start hearing from the government, this is free, this is safe, this is effective, run the other way. Flat out. Like, there's nothing there for you at that point. And that's why I continue to encourage people the best you can. Look at what you're feeding your kids. You know, I've had friends over the years now, the kids are starting to have health problems, and they ask me what to do now. And I'm like, dude, look at the diet. What vitamins? Well, they're taking Flintstones. I don't know. They like, you know, they like, what's the one? Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast. I'm like, and you're asking me why your childs are having problems? I'm like, I'll explain it for the 50th time. But, you know, here we go. Again, you know, get your kids on the right supplements. Get them a good omega-3 like we carry. Get them on the Ultra Multiple Chewable and cut out the processed carbs, sugar, and dyes. At least those three things if you don't do anything else. Cut out the processed carbs, cut out all the sugar, and cut out the food coloring. The food coloring single-handedly, when I've had customers come in with kids, you add the omega-3 fats to their diet, you add the Ultra Multiple Chewable, and you cut out the processed foods and you cut out the dyes for the most part, you will watch, usually, most cases, a remarked change in their behavior. They're listening, they're learning, their scores, everything. And so, again, I encourage people to do it, because what we do here at Health Masters, I want everybody to know the truth. I want everybody to have the ability to learn as much as they want. If you don't want to make changes, don't. I'm not going to be mad at you. Everybody's got freedom of will. But if you do want it, you have the right to have access to it. And that's what we do at Health Masters. So continue to keep up the fight, my friends. It's not going away anytime soon. We're going to be in this for a while. And I'm gonna applaud this win now with RFK Jr. We got a couple of these. Now it's time to move forward even further. And the more you talk about it, the more you forge shows like this, the more you talk about the articles and research, the more it gets discussed and it spreads. That's why it's so important to maintain your knowledge on something, so you have the ability to talk about it. Somebody asks you, what do you think about this topic with vaccines or GMO corn or high fructose corn syrup? You go, oh yeah, I listen to this on Ted Austin Brower's show. Here's some references on it. Here's some articles on it. I would recommend you don't use it at all. I'd recommend it cause all types of health problems, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and metabolic syndrome, and obesity, cavities. The list goes on. Stay away from it. So thank you, my friends. I appreciate the support, Doug. And it's been great being on the show tonight, as always, with you guys.
Austin Brower, I can't thank you enough. And folks, please do yourself a favor. Make sure you listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show on a daily basis, because that will give you so much information about your health, about so many things, including your health, but even the topics that are important for all of us today. And I appreciate everything you and your family does. You and your father, give him and your family my best. And I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for taking your time out tonight for being with me. Appreciate it.
Doug, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate, love the listeners. Healthmasters.com if you need us. I hope you guys have a fantastic night. Enjoy the rest of your show, and I'll be back on here again with you guys to keep you guys updated on all the health news and research, my friends.
God bless you. Again, thank you. Folks, that was awesome, bro. Teamhealthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box. So don't forget to take advantage of the coupon at checkout, DH5, and that's 5% off at checkout. HR5. Huh. Silly me. Yeah, HR5. Well, I'll tell you what, if one doesn't work, use the other one. My apologies, folks. HR5, 5% off at, I don't know.
Now yeah, I'm confused. I think there it does. It's DH5.
DH5. My apology. DH5. We sure about that now, Eric? You okay, brother? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's one of them. But seriously, use it, and I'll tell you what, it's great. So appreciate that. Appreciate Austin, and appreciate Health Masters. All right. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we have to keep ourselves pretty on top of things because the time that we're entering right now, folks, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the time that we're entering right now is at least in my view, domestically, it's a charged environment. We're at the precipice of a... we are like equivalent to this unusual meld between the time during the Revolutionary War and one that preceded the Civil War. You have this amalgamation of leftist, communist, Muslim, this red-green alliance infiltrated and embedded within our society that are ripping, that rending the fabric of our country. And you've got a very impotent leadership within both chambers of Congress. Okay. So all of this combined right now, along with the very incendiary speech by the leftists, the pro-invader, the anti-white, the anti-moral, the pro-demonic, everything that is against all of that which we fought and stand for. There's this huge fight, and folks, I can't stress this enough. I believe truly right now what we do. As a people, what we do or what we don't do is going to define, it's going to set the course on how everything plays out. And I had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Sam off air today for a little bit about a different number of things or number of different things. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, we're in a position where the globalist left, the ideologically driven communist Muslim invading loving individuals. I mentioned them earlier. I mentioned these individuals who just are embracing this invasion of our country. Perhaps more accurately, embracing the takeover by the invaders of our country. We cannot, we must not back down from making this country safe from illegal criminals, the fraud, the purveyors of fraud, not just the invaders who are performing or engaged in the fraud, but those who are facilitating and conspiring with and profiting from the fraud. Look, there's multiple sides to this. It's not just the group of foreign nationals. It also involves people within positions of power at all levels of government. And especially what you and I can do is at the local level, at our levels, we can demand accountability. We can push for that. And that's what we need to do. Failing that, absent of that, because we have been under siege, because we are being torn apart right now, absent of all of that, there will be just, and to me, an unbelievable amount of bloodshed coming from this. This, what happened today, in my view, what happened today, what we saw today, is perhaps one of the flashpoints that the left wants to utilize as additional, as the predicate for initiating the bloodshed and the war against the Patriot. So with me right now, Sam Andrews. Sam, I'm the man, the myth, the legend, as they say. I appreciate you coming on. Sam, how are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. I don't think I've been in this good a place in 20 years.
You're looking good. You're sounding good. And I appreciate you coming on. I mean, there's so much going on, my friend. Where do you want to start?
Wow. I could think of about five topics that we could hit pretty hard tonight. It's been an incredible January so far. And where are we at now? What's the date today? The 7th?
Yeah, we're only 7 days in. You know?
7 days in. Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a hell of a year.
Yeah. I mean, the blowback from Venezuela, which we spoke about, and folks, Sam's background, he can speak on any number of things. I've got to say, he's amazed me by his level of knowledge about current events and about coming events, the analysis of what's taking place today versus what could very well happen. So wherever you want to start, I mean, again, we're not in any kind of shortage of topics. So whatever you think is most important and pressing, let's start there.
Well, Doug, I don't have a crystal ball, but if you remember on one of your past shows, I talked about, should you buy silver or gold? Should you invest in, and I told everybody silver because of the ratio.
Yep.
And you look at the ratio where it is now and probably where it's going to go. If anyone had listened to my advice, you're welcome. I'm sure you put a lot of money in your pocket. And gold's gone up as well. But I don't have a crystal ball, right?
But you've got a functioning brain that can look back at history, and you've got a great knowledge of history. And we can judge in a lot of ways. We can judge what's going to happen based on historical precedent. So, I mean,
right. And it's a couple of things. I'll define, you know, as a strategic planner for DOD, I can tell you that I have always looked at specific types of things in a certain way. And I can explain some of that here. So like you pointed out, you look at the history, you've got to know the history. You know, I grew up playing competitive tennis as a young kid. You know, I wanted to be the best tennis player in the world. I didn't reach my goal, but I beat some pretty good players in my career. And I can tell you the great players that I know, guys like Arthur Ashe and Jimmy Connors, and these guys came from St. Louis where I was growing up and honing my skills. And I got to talk to those guys, got to play against those guys, got to have life lessons taught to me by those great players. And the one thing that struck me about those guys is how historically strong they were. They knew everything about the great players. If you ever talk to Jack Nicklaus about the great golfers, he knows the history of his sport like you wouldn't believe, like the back of his hand. And so history is a component of understanding what's going to happen in the future, but it's one slice of the pie. Yeah. The other slices of the pie for me have been the activity and energy. Where is the energy? Where is the activity going? And where is the energy? What type of inertia does the energy in the moment have? And I can tell you that paid big dividends in Ferguson. We were looking, we had Marines in the crowd, MARSOC guys in the crowd, judging the energy level of the crowd. We had three Marines in the crowd with the protesters mixed in all the time, monitoring the energy level of the crowd. And that allowed us to make moves ahead of time and prevent a lot of damage in Ferguson. And so if you know the history and you're monitoring the energy and the activity, okay, those are two key elements to figuring out what's going on in the future. The third element, I would say, is I've always asked myself, okay, what are the influential mechanisms here? Okay, for this, for any given subject. And it's the same with human biology. Okay, if you're going to take a drug or a peptide or whatever, what is the mechanism by which that's going to operate? And do you understand that mechanism at the deepest level? Because if you do, it gives you great insight into the future. You know, and that's when you look at forecasting and marketing, or you look at business operations, you want to understand the mechanisms, the players, the history, okay, the energy level and what direction it's pointed, the inertia of given technologies, and all of these things play into an what we call in strategic planning an external environment analysis. Okay, so when I told people to buy silver, I was looking at all four of those things. All right. When I tell people to use modern medicine called peptides to heal your body, I'm not just looking at history. I'm looking at mechanisms. I'm looking at testing. I'm looking at energy level. What are the successful people doing? We call that benchmarking in business. Okay, so you're always looking at a range of things when you do an external environment analysis. Also, who are the leaders and what are they saying and what direction are they headed? And I mean, there are so many cool things we could talk about tonight. We could talk about modern medicine and health. We could talk about this new solid state battery that's coming from a company overseas. Doug, this is going to change the world. There, you figure 200 kilowatt hours, probably some of the best batteries out there running electrical vehicles. There's a company out there that has new battery technology that's going to operate in the range of 400 to 500 kilowatts per kilogram. Now think about that for a minute.
Really?
So your energy density is more than double. So all of a sudden a car that goes 400 miles will now go 800 miles, and the weight is less and the volume that it takes up is less. You know what that means? That means that aircraft can now fly on electric batteries instead of Jet A. Think about that for a second.
Would I be wrong in saying, though, that we have had access to such technology for quite some time? Look, I know there's...
No.
Okay, this is different.
No, this is new.
Okay.
There have been 15 companies out there talking about a true solid-state battery. Now, there's only one that exists today in the real world that's functioning and can be made in volume, and it's by a company called Donut Labs. Now, Donut Labs, they revolutionized the electric motor just a year or so ago, and now they've come out with the first solid-state battery. They're putting them in motorcycles, V-E-R-G-E, if you want to look it up. I don't know how they pronounce this company. It's in Europe. It's Verge. They have electric motorcycles now with a 350-mile range. I can't get 110 miles out of a tank of gas on my Ducati V4. These things make 200 horsepower on these electric motorcycles and can run 350 to 370 miles on one battery charge. And the battery can charge in less than 10 minutes. Now, here's the real kicker. This is the real game changer. The average car battery lithium technology, right now, lithium ion technology, can be recharged approximately 1,000 to 2,000 times. And then the battery's toast. It's done. It's not operational anymore. Super high quality, specialized lithium batteries in the highest end electric vehicles might take 4,000 to 5,000 charges. This new battery from Donut Labs, 100,000 charges. That means the battery outlasts the car, Doug. Imagine that. Okay, now, if you think that's special, think about this. A lithium battery loses, depending on its design, when you drop the temperature down to 25 degrees Fahrenheit, just below freezing, it loses 40 to 55% of its potential energy.
Anyone who's got a an battery charged or battery powered mower and you live up in the colder areas, you know that. Because yeah. Every spring, if you don't charge it, if you don't take the battery, I get it. So, okay, go on.
So now, this new Donut Labs fully solid-state battery, and what's a solid-state versus a normal battery? A normal battery has a liquid electrolyte. A solid-state battery has a solid form of electrolyte. So it's dramatically different, and it's dramatically safer. But here's the kicker. You take a Donut Labs battery down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit, it doesn't lose 1% of its power that it has at a normal temperature.
That makes sense, yeah.
You take that battery to 100 degrees centigrade, which most lithium batteries would get ready to burn up and explode, and this battery functions in that environment and doesn't lose 1% of its potential power output. And it will go 100,000 cycles from zero to fully charged. You know how most electric cars, they tell you to charge to 80 to 85% to promote the long life of your batteries. Well, this battery can go 100,000 cycles from zero to 100% on every charge. I'm telling you, this is a game changer. This is going to change the world with the new efficiency in the electric motors that we have. We have electric motors so small, so light, and so powerful, they can replace the disc brakes in your front tires. We have trailers with wheel hub electric motors now that cut the fuel consumption of semis by 55%. I'm telling you that there is, you know, I have been the biggest detractor on electric vehicles for the last 30 years. I've said garbage, not going to work. They're stupid. They're not functional. They're not reliable. You know, what do I own? I own four different diesel motors, right? I have a diesel motorhome. I have a diesel pickup truck. My wife has a diesel pickup truck. I have a diesel range truck, right? Cummins motors. I'm all about Cummins, right? Reliable. Go 500,000 to 1 million miles, no problem. Let me tell you something. This new battery and these new motor designs are going to change the world in the next 3 years like nothing we've ever seen.
Translate that, Sam, to anyone listening to this right now might be thinking, well, all right, I mean, crap, of all the things to be talking about, you're talking about the friggin' battery. But translate why that would be important. What's the importance of you talking about that right now? I'm coming at this from a listener or viewer approach on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, people need to know. Back when solar panels were 15% efficient and batteries were wicked expensive, by the way, these new batteries from Donut Labs are less expensive than the current batteries in our EVs, in our cars.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when you double the power to weight output of a battery, you change what an engineer can do. I'm telling you, mark my words, Doug, this is going to be as big a revolution to society as the cell phone.
Okay, so from an investing perspective to a usage or consumer perspective, we're talking about, hey, pay attention here, right? That's what you're saying?
I am seriously considering, with some good friends in California and a couple good friends in St. Louis, Missouri, I am seriously considering an aircraft company with electric powered engines, starting an aircraft manufacturing company right now. That's what I'm looking at.
My goodness. Okay.
That's how amazing this technology is and how revolutionary it's going to be. You know, when I was in second grade, my teacher said, well, by the year 2000, we're going to have flying cars.
I heard that too. Yeah.
And I was a good kid. I watched the Jetsons. I was like, yeah, we should have flying cars. And the year 2000 came around and I was like, where the F is my flying car? I want my flying car. Well, what this is going to do is this is going to bring drone transportation. This is going to bring aviation transportation to people that could never afford it. I mean, personal.
There it is. All right.
So let's say you buy a Cessna plane for $2 million. Okay. You want to be a private pilot. You want to own your own plane. Or you buy a used one for $500,000. Do you know what the annual is on that aircraft because of the FAA regulations? $25,000 just for an inspection. Okay, now, you combine that with the FAA and their new Mosaic classification, now the annual inspection goes down to $2,000. And then you combine that with the new technology with electric motors and these super efficient batteries that are going to make electric airplanes real and in a hurry real. You completely changed everything. Instead of the richest lawyers and doctors being able to afford their own planes, somebody with a middle-class job that's careful with their money will be able to own their own aircraft.
Okay. Now, okay, that to me is indeed a game changer. That's why we need diversity, because obviously these immigrants that are coming into this country and the invaders, of course, contribute to society by the production, by the manufacturing production, as well as the engineering of these devices. So shame on us for, I'm sorry, I'm joking, but no, pay attention to what Sam's saying. This could, in fact, change or revolutionize certain things in our daily routine here in the not too distant future. That's pretty.
Well, think of what NASA can now do with a solid state battery and a probe into space.
Yeah.
Instead of 2,000 or 3,000 charge cycles, 100,000 charge cycles, and half the weight, and double the energy. I mean, think about that for a sec. I mean, what it's going to enable engineers to do is just utterly remarkable. It's going to change society and change it quick. And it's going to make batteries for storage, for solar or wind or whatever you want to do, it's going to make it actually possible and be cost effective. See, when you try to cram electric and wind and solar down everybody's throats, they spit it back up. Because it wasn't ready. We didn't have the battery cost low enough. We didn't have the batteries efficient and safe enough. We didn't have the range. We didn't have the cold weather performance. We didn't have the longevity. I mean, ask me if I want to drive to Alaska in an electric vehicle right now or my Cummins truck. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Cummins four-wheel drive with the 37-inch tires. I'm not picking an electric vehicle. I don't want to die.
Right.
But this new solid-state technology gives you more torque, less weight, and significantly more range. It's going to be a game changer. So there's a lot of cool things. You know, I used to tell people like, technology, what has technology improved in the last 20 years? And, well, it's caused a lot of problems. Kids on the internet getting in trouble, causing problems, causing mental health issues. It's caused a lot of problems. But you know, one thing that's gotten better, or the flashlights. Our LED flashlights are amazing.
Yeah.
Our tactical lights that we put on weapons are outstanding now. I've got a little handheld light smaller than this drink mug.
Right.
I can shine a spot on a target 1,200 yards away.
And folks, you're gonna pay attention to me. It's these little things that really are not so little that can mean the difference between your survival or even the comfort within your survival.
Let's talk about your financial situation.
All right,
I want everybody to think about what they've invested money in. If they've been able to live with some margin and they've picked up a few investments, let me talk about what's going to happen this year.
And please do.
I'll tell you why. AI is coming to America at a level that nobody can get their arms around. It is massive. Okay. Now, with AI coming to America, what does that mean? That means we need computer chips manufactured at a level that's never been done before. We need more of them. But what we need more of that we really don't have is power. That's why Trump has written into his executive orders, said he will grant authority for any AI to have their own power plant on site. Now, what does everybody running AI want for a power plant? They want a nuclear power plant because they're the most cost effective.
Yes.
But all the regulations have prevented the proliferation of any nuclear power for the last, what, 20, 30 years. Okay, but guess what? What are the smartest guys doing that are into AI? Well, let's take a look at Elon Musk. Okay. And we're just talking, I'm just doing a strategic external environment analysis, just an overview for people to think about.
Okay. Okay.
What is Elon Musk doing in his facilities? Is he building power plants there? No. No, what is he doing? He's bringing giant natural gas generators in to power his AI facilities, and he's trucking the natural gas in to run the generators. Why? Because he knows he's not going to get a power plant built in 3 months. He knows it's going to take 3 to 5 years at best. So what he's doing is he's bringing in these natural gas generators, these giant generators, and then he's trucking the natural gas in to feed the generators to make the electricity to power his AI as a stopgap to get him to the point where he can get his power plants constructed and get some real cost-effective energy. But he's going to lead in AI because he understands how to bridge the gap between nuclear fusion driving AI, which we are really close to. There are nuclear fusion reactors up and running now. Now, they're experimental, and their scale isn't what we want, but they're running. Okay. And how do we use magnetism to control the energy? It's amazing technology. And it's going to accelerate as AI comes online, the development of those nuclear reactors, not fission. Fusion. Okay. Most fusion processes we started experimenting with were untenable because they had a byproduct of deadly neutrons. And neutrons are hard to stop. You can't stop them with lead. You can't stop them with concrete. They go through everything. They're a pain in the butt from a physics standpoint. Okay. But this modern technology, this fusion technology, the type of fusion we're doing and the materials we're using for the fusion don't produce neutrons anymore. And we're controlling the energy with magnetism. It's amazing what's coming. I'm telling you, in 5 years, you won't recognize this planet.
Based on all of what you just said, right? I mean, well, I'll continue. I mean,
okay, so let me finish the overview.
Okay.
So let's say I had $5,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 to invest. Did you know that there's only one company in the world that makes the machines that make the high-end computer chips?
No.
That might be a good place to look. Okay. Now, did you know that the second largest nuclear power plant manufacturer in the world just spent $21 billion to buy a $21 billion natural gas company? You think they think that there might some people might need to bridge the gap to AI until we can get the nuclear plants up and running? That might be a good place to look, right? So my thoughts, when people ask me, my sons, my sisters, my friends, Sam, what are you looking at investing in? And I say, well, I would look at chip manufacturing machines. I might look at energy, particularly nuclear and natural gas companies. Why? Because they have to grow because the demand of AI technology is going to force it in the short term as a stopgap to building legit nuclear power plants.
Okay. And in your
a thought.
In your world, AI is something good, bad, or indifferent. AI is something that
it's no different than a gun. It's a tool. It can be used for good or bad.
Okay. All right.
It's a tool.
All right.
You know, and the people controlling AI are going to determine whether it's used for good or bad. You know, I've asked AIs, my wife's got about 4 different AIs that she does searches on and stuff. And just for entertainment's sake, I'll say, hey, Teresa, ask your AI program this question. And sometimes it comes back with the biggest BS answer I've ever heard. No accuracy in the answer at all. And sometimes, depending on which AI you use, you get some pretty legitimate, insightful answers. But there are people that have access to certain AI that's better than what the public has right now. And so I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the disparity in the quality of AI, whether it's propaganda and programming AI or whether it's legitimate scientific AI, scientific and truth driven. And like Musk said, it's really important if we're going to do AI that we make it truth driven. And that's up to the programmers. That's up to the guys that develop the AI system. But the potential for good in this world has never been greater. And you know what makes me so sad, Doug, is that while we have the largest, the brightest future possible in front of us, the health, the mental health, and the physical health of Americans is going off a cliff.
Yeah.
The last 2 years have been the first time in history the average life expectancy of an American has gone down instead of up.
So what does Sam Andrews attribute that to specifically?
The lies of the FDA, yep. The lies of the CDC, the drug and addiction problems, the diet of the average American, the poisons that are in our environment, the microplastics, the what I call the medical industrial complex, which is a mafioso racket. By the way, this is the opinion of Sam Andrews, not Doug Hagman or this show, but my opinion, the mafioso protection racket of the medical industrial complex, basically big pharma and the drug companies. You know, so we attacked Venezuela, right? Why? What was our justification? Because they were running poison and drugs into America.
Based on the 2020 SDNY indictment, 25-page indictment. Right. Yes, so correct. Yes.
Does anyone believe that Venezuela is causing the majority of deaths in America from drug use?
Of course not.
It's probably about 7%.
Four.
The best estimates, I've heard anything from 3% to 11%.
Right.
Mexico, Colombia combined probably account for 82%.
Absolutely.
Why aren't we dealing with the cartels in Mexico? So that's a really good question, by the way. And why Venezuela? Why not Mexico? If you're going to say, hey, you're shipping poison into our country, which they were, and they are.
Yeah.
And they're killing Americans. But 10% of the Americans, the Mexican cartels, De La Soul in Venezuela, the cartel that Maduro was connected with, they're not killing a tenth of the Americans that the Mexican cartels are.
No, but that cartel is also involved in the racketeering aspect of the exportation of not just drugs, but of RICO-type activity involving other products and services.
Humans, sex trafficking, that correct. Kind of thing. Okay, so to answer the question, why Venezuela? There are about five key reasons Venezuela. Okay, Venezuela was the strongest inroad of both the Chinese and the Russian communists into our hemisphere. Okay. Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in that correct. Part of the world. Okay.
13 times bigger than Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. It's bigger than Saudi Arabia. So, but don't lie to yourself and say, oh, this is all about oil. No, it's not. It's about protecting the interest of the United States. And I'm going to give you
Monroe Doctrine. How's that?
Five chess moves. Okay. We went to Venezuela to secure oil. Hey, remember Chavez?
Vaguely.
The American and international oil companies that invested billions in his oil infrastructure?
Yeah.
Okay, drills, refineries, wells, all that stuff. Right. And he took it all from them. Yeah. And then he nominated his boy Maduro to take over.
Correct.
They stole it. Now, if you put $27 billion into infrastructure in a country, and their government comes along and says, oh, no, screw you, that's ours. Now that you're finished building it, we'll take that, thank you.
And I will add this to those listening. The Biden regime, the Auto Pen regime, was about to cede ownership, authority, and control to Maduro. But
yeah, which
time
was
ran
a big,
out.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We didn't finish the job in Iran. And when we go and finish the job in Iran, that's going to upset the world oil markets.
Absolutely.
But if we have some control over Venezuela's oil, we can mitigate the pain caused by finishing the job in Iran. Reason number one, the Israelis and the Americans want to finish the job in Iran. We've had our eye on Iran for a long time.
Yes.
Iran is the last of the seven dominoes. Okay. So understand that one of the main reasons from a security standpoint to get control of Venezuela's oil is to be able to finish the job in Iran and not compromise energy around the world. Okay. Everybody said Trump's move is going to destabilize the world.
But when you
see what's coming, yep. Right? When you see that we're going to go finish the job in Iran, when you see what's coming, you're going to realize that was a very good move to shore up the energy situation around the world.
Exactly. So
there's reason number one. Now, yeah, reason number two, China and Russia had all kinds of hook into Venezuelan oil.
Very much.
Okay, and so what did we do? We said, excuse you, get out of our hemisphere. We'll control the oil in this hemisphere. And if you want it, you'll buy it from us.
That's right.
You'll buy it from legitimate Western Hemisphere countries. Okay, so that's a huge strategic move. Both it puts China in a bad spot, makes them weaker, and it puts Putin in a bad spot. Now, let's talk about the strategic implications. Do you know that about 70% of Venezuela's internal security technology was provided by communist China? Do you know that 90% of the perimeter technology, the anti-aircraft systems, all the things that guard Venezuela, was provided by Russia?
And only 20% are actually functional.
Well, here's the thing. What Trump did was show Putin just how good his anti-aircraft technology is.
There, yes.
Because we obliterated their crap in less than about 9 minutes.
That's right.
It took us 9 minutes to show Putin your stuff doesn't even play in the minor leagues, much less the major leagues when it comes to our technology.
And speaking of technology, not to get ahead of you or interrupt you unnecessarily, I thought it was very interesting what President Trump did say about the lights going off in Caracas when we were pretty far out. And he said, yeah, we've got some stuff, new stuff. It was that.
I cannot talk about that technology, but yeah, okay. It's real. Yeah. Let me just say this. There's some rumors going around that the NSA and some other agencies have the ability to turn your stuff off. And it works really well.
To turn it off from afar.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So when you talk about this raid in Venezuela, it's kind of an amazing deal. So, you know, when we did the Bin Laden thing in Pakistan, okay, we combine a SEAL team with some special activities guys from the CIA, right? And we flew some really cool technology helicopters from the 160th Special Operation Air Regiment, right? Those are our best helicopter pilots at the tier one level. And we went in there and we got him. But that was a capture and kill mission. That was easy compared to what they just did. That was a simple operation. As complex as that was to pull that off, that was simple compared to what they did in Venezuela. And I can tell you from
Amazing.
A action standpoint that a kill mission is way safer, way easier than a bag and boogie mission, which is what you saw in Venezuela.
There you go. And folks, okay, so pay attention to Sam on this, because that whole, what was it, 90-minute operation? Maybe 2 hours? I don't know. But for
not them, that long.
it was a very... Pardon the expression, but it was almost poetic, the way that was executed. But there, I sense, Sam, there were other benefits by extraction as opposed to obliteration. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is. Because to kill a head of state in a foreign country doesn't look like justice to the international world. Okay. And where, when you've got evidence and crimes and you hold a trial and you put the proof out in public for everyone to see, and you try these people in a fair trial with facts, you lay out the justification. You know, when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, that wasn't a finger to the Brits. That was moral justification for the world historically to analyze and say, you know, these people did the right thing. And rather than kill Maduro, to capture him and his wife and say, you know what, if you hurt our people, we're going to come try you in a court of law. We're going to do it publicly so that the whole world knows what you've been doing, how you've been hurting our people, and that what we did was just. And that is not a small thing to do that. And you, right. You don't want to be involved in operations that make you look like a murderer.
Very true. Plus, Sam, you can, if you can speak on this, because I know that you're operational in certain aspects, but I spoke with someone on Saturday who's within the NSC national security
apparatus
area. Yes, within the White House, and the information I got was not only was Maduro and his wife properly captured, but so too was a lot of documents that are being brought back to the U.S. that would be an indictment against many people involved in a very intricate financial operation, almost like a RICO kind of thing. Okay, that these documents are going to be used, or can be used, I don't know if they are, but can be used to implicate a very precise number of both senators and House members, as well as some governors and other leaders in this country who have financially benefited by the Maduro operation. Is that an accurate thing?
Yes. Right. Yes. And so you say, well, the operation took 2.5 hours. Let me tell you, the diversions, the elimination of the anti-aircraft, the helicopters going in, ground department and DEA and FBI and the unit,
yeah,
hitting Maduro's house and bagging those two clowns and putting them on a helicopter and getting them out of there. That's about 15 minutes total. They didn't spend 90 seconds in Maduro's home before having those people secured. If you've ever seen the unit, or what we call CAG, Combat Applications Group, Americans, typical American civilians think of them as Delta Force, right?
Right.
Okay. We call them the unit or National Mission Team of the Army, right? They're the highest level in the U.S. Army, and they're the quiet ones. They're the real quiet professionals in special operations. You don't see unit guys writing books and doing movies and stuff like that like you do SEAL team guys.
Right.
Okay. The unit guys, anybody can try out for the unit. If you're a SEAL or you're Air Force Special Forces, you're a MARSOC Marine, you can go through the assessment process. You can send a request in. If it gets approved, they give you the invite and you come and try out. If you're in the Army Special Forces, you can't become a Navy SEAL. You have to be a Navy guy to become a Navy SEAL.
Right.
Okay. So the unit picks from the whole pool. All right. And the difference, I want to talk about the functional difference, because I've worked with Dev Group, I've worked with some unit guys, and I've done some training with these guys. And I'll tell you that the real difference is the speed on the ground. Okay. Now, the SEALs have a lot of flexibility, particularly on infiltration and exfil. They can do water, air, land. That's what SEAL means, right? Sea, air, land, right? Right. Doesn't mean a small walrus-looking thing. It means sea, air, and land. That's what SEAL means. So the SEALs have a lot of skills that the CAD guys can't necessarily do. But when you talk about operations on a building, clearing a building, grabbing a high-value target, and busting tail and getting out of there, those guys are so fast. They are. So when we train these guys, we're on a catwalk, okay? We're above. You got 6 to 8 instructors on catwalks above a shoot house. There's no ceiling. We're looking down, watching these guys operate and grading their performance, right? You take an average SWAT team and you run them through an exercise in a building to grab a high-value target, that SWAT team will take 1.5 minutes from the time they breach the door.
Yeah.
A SEAL team will do it in 21 seconds. These CAD guys, experienced CAD guys that work together, when they hit a building, they got their man in 11, 12, 15 seconds. It's speed like you've never seen. And I remember standing on a catwalk, and it was blue team from CAG. And the guy is one of the more senior guys is looking at the FNG, the new guy. He says, "Listen, man, don't do anything stupid. Just try to keep up." Now, this guy is young, fast, just been through selection, got tasked out to a team. He is in the prime of life. He has no injuries. He's healthy as a horse. He can run a 5.5-minute mile with his gear, and the old guy says, "Just try to keep up." And, you know, the young guy kind of smirks like, "Okay, old man, yeah, we'll see," right? And they leave this kid. They go through that building and those walls and those rooms and those doors, and they clear stuff so fast that the new guy can't keep up. He is shell-shocked at the end of the exercise. And that's how fast these CAD guys are. They are amazing. When you see them in action, you are just aghast at the speed at which they do everything. And that, I'm telling you, speed is life. These guys are the best we've got. You know, outside of a handful of guys in direct action into like special activity center guys. I mean, there's some superstars in every group, but as a team, these guys move at light speed. It's amazing to watch them. I enjoy it. It puts a smile on my face every time I see these guys move and how fast they are and how coordinated they are. And, I mean, if I gave you track shoes, if I gave Eric track shoes, okay, and some knee pads and some elbow pads, you don't even have to carry a weapon. Just try to stay with these guys. You would be on your horse to be anywhere near them.
But you know, in addition to the talent, the one question I have, and maybe you can answer this for me, is I want to know how that team was able to do with the rapid, with the quickness that they accomplished. How are they able to defeat what an 8,000-pound, maybe even higher, electromagnetic lock on a humongous panic door, metal reinforced, like it was nothing. I have not gotten an answer to that question. I want to know what toy they used to
Well, they've got a couple of tools for breaching. Okay. They have some real high energy plasma tools, laser cutters. They have diamond saws. Okay. They have a lot of options for, they have explosive, det cord. I'll tell you about an older.
But apparently, it was what I heard again, invoking the conversation that I had, was they defeated the operation of the electromagnet. I'm not sure, folks, if you have ever seen like a panic room where the door shuts by it, it's locked by an electromagnetic lock. That's pretty rough, but they defeated that electromagnetic lock, rendered it useless, which I'm kind of, you know, you could pull the power, right? But you've got backups to that. So anyway, that was a question that still bothers me. I want to know how they did that. But you know.
So there are directed energy devices.
There we go.
That can do some pretty slick stuff.
Okay.
Okay. But there's a lot of tools. They have a lot of technology. There's a lot of tools. And generally, you know, each guy will carry specialized tools, you know, on his back. They use Dana Designs, not Dana Designs. They use Mystery Ranch gear. The guy that owned Dana Designs, that used to make the backpacks for expeditions, really tough, durable backpacks. He sold that company and then started a company called Mystery Ranch. And a lot of the tier one assets use Mystery Ranch stuff. And they're very specialized backpacks that are designed to hold particular tools.
Yeah, I guess.
And man, those tools can be really, really effective.
I did. So I hear. Yes. So, okay. I interrupted your list of reasons. I think you were at two or three. But continue if
yeah, we talked about the oil and the strategic significance of the oil, not just the monetary significance. We talked about blocking China and Russia's influence in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
We talked about the necessity to finish the job in Iran and not destabilize the world's energy. Okay. And Venezuela's product is critical to that strategic gain. Okay. And so as you look at this Trump chess move, it covers about seven things that are really significant to the long-term security of the United States. And people are looking at it very naively. People usually, they fixate on one issue. Ah, they're taking the oil. They're stealing the Venezuelans' oil. You know, no, that's not the reason.
I am good. Yes.
That's not the reason. Okay. There's about seven reasons why Venezuela was first. Okay. And let me tell you, the next reason is Cuba.
A lot of people don't know this,
but Cuban forces, the 50 security people closest to Maduro weren't Venezuelans. They were all Cubans.
Could that be the reason why we haven't heard much from Alejandro Mayorkas of late? Maybe we should put his face on a milk carton. You know, he's Cuban. Just saying.
You know, Cuba's head of state was saying, we'll sacrifice our lives to defeat the Americans. We'll do this and that. But like Cuba, you know, you're like a little sardine mouthing off to a great white shark. Maybe you just ought to pipe down, because Cuba has been the biggest problem to America since day one. If Trump did anything with bully force, I wish he'd wipe the Cuban government off the face of the earth. What they've done to their people is disgusting and irreprehensible. And you know what? They're way too close. See, when I was a young guy, me and my Navy SEAL buddies used to run Zodiacs into Cuba with antibiotics and shoes for kids. And we'd run in on the North Shore with these Zodiacs off these two fairly large boats. And we'd take four Zodiacs in filled with stuff. And we'd meet doctors and nurses on the shore at 1:30 in the morning and dump all the stuff and beat feet and get out of there. Okay. What Cuban children have had to go through because of Castro and these crooked communists is so horrific. You have no idea the disease, the infections, the horrible things that these children had to go through because of this corrupt system. And of course, I grew up a lot of my life in Florida. We used to go to the Quesal Bank, which is like halfway between Cuba and Isla Mirada in Florida. And if you take a 179 heading out of Isla Mirada, you run right into the Quesal Bank. If you go a few miles further, you run right into Cuba.
Right.
Okay, now the Bahamas claims the Quesal Bank now. But what Trump really needs to do is to deal with Cuba. That's the one place where regime change could really be affected. And I'm not a big fan of regime change. But that's one place, if you're really going to protect the United States, you got to deal with the Cuban issue. And Venezuela going first cuts the legs out from under Cuba. There's
I do suspect that Cuba has really taken a sucker punch in a way from this Venezuelan action. Would that be wrong to say? Because
no, I think you're spot on.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. But here's the now. We've talked about the strategic side. We've talked about these mechanisms for preserving energy stability around the world. We've talked about preventing China from getting hooks into our hemisphere and from Russia from getting hooks into our hemisphere. Okay. But now let's talk about the psychological side. Maduro had a web of places that he stayed. He moved from place to place to place to make it hard for him to be attacked. Okay. He worked harder at personal security than Putin does. So what do you think kind of a message this sends to Vladimir Putin? If we go in, we take out all the Russian, the high-tech anti-air stuff in a matter of seconds and go in and grab Maduro and his wife. How bold do you think Putin wants to stick his chest out at this point?
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, how cocky do you think Xi Jinping is at this point? See, here's the thing. You got Chinese radar, you got Russian radar. You know, these guys have been improving their radars, and you know that they set their radars up to kind of be able to locate a B-2. You know what their radar doesn't work against? The new B-21.
Okay.
We are invisible with some of our new stealth, our drones, our B-21, some other stuff. And you combine that with what we just did in Venezuela, it's a big message, right? FAFO, guys, we're real. And we can come get you anytime we want. That's a powerful subconscious message to send to Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. I'm not saying it's the right message. I'm not trying to justify the morality of any of this, but I'm saying it's a message.
I'm not so sure it's an issue of morality. In my view, I'm looking at the security of the United States, and here's my vantage, or here's my viewpoint. And folks, look, I think Sam and I are on the same wavelength. I think we all pretty much are. After Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that bullshit that we saw, and I intentionally used that word because that's what it was. But here's what I'm looking at. You're looking at this enemy that we have embedded in the U.S. You're also looking at, like you said, the hooks of anti-American countries against their, or the lack of enforcement of the Monroe Doctrine that I think is part of American, very important part of American defense, the American defense mechanism. But all that said, where I was going with this is I'll just let you continue because to me, I mean, there was also an element too about the control, Venezuela being somewhat of a operational hub for the, you talk about regime change, for the electronic control over the voting process of over 70 countries across the world. Did that play into in any factor here.
It absolutely did.
Thank you.
You think Trump, it's just a coincidence, you know, all the voting corruption in Georgia that was uncovered, 320,000 fraudulent votes.
Yep.
When the election was lost